I am concerned. Says Kadokawa.
Are you concerned? Are you concerned? Is this anime producer concerned?
Specifically, Always Sunny. They just really love Always Sunny. And they they want to do, like, they invited me over to their apartment one time to do a script reading of Always Sunny.
Yeah.
Like, you can be Frank. And I'm like,
what?
Why am I Frank to you?
But also, what do you mean a script? Like,
you take the script of the show? Like, the episode?
I understand the concept. I don't understand why are they doing that?
Well, it's fun thing to do, I guess.
No, you are friends with some lame people. There's no other way. They should just give you, his PS5. Honestly, if he's gonna be, that's like inviting someone over, being like, we're gonna play charades or like something like, come on, we could play Pictionary or Trivial Pursuit. No, we're gonna do a.
I don't know how to tell you this. They're just normies.
That is like, yeah, that is like the most like white bread normie fucking thing. We're gonna do a script reading of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and you get what are we putting on a fucking play? Like, are we like 10 years old? What the fuck is that?
They just like to come up with things to do. They're like, oh, you can do this thing.
They need to be better. Listen, all right. They should be more like me and just like waste hundreds of dollars on Beyblade. All right. Be like, hey, Moomy, do you want to come over and play Beyblades with my wife and I? And were there other people invited to this activity, or was it literally? Yeah. Just,
no, we had, okay. They had like a full 5 cast.
Okay, so I thought it was just going to be like you, his wife, and him.
No, they weren't married at the time. It was him, his roommate, her, which they weren't even dating at that time.
Okay.
And then his friend.
And then you.
And then me. Or it would have been me.
It would be really funny if it's like, hey, can you come over and read, do a script reading of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, specifically with my wife, because that's like our new fetish thing that we're trying. It's like bizarre cuckoldry where it's not really sex, but it's like you get off on watching your wife just do something with another man.
It's like the Mormon version of cuckoldry.
Yeah, instead of like, what is it they do at BYU? Like soaking or something? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
They have like their friend jump on the bed or something, but now it's like, yeah, all right, guys. I need you to come over and play Go Fish with my wife while I sit in the corner in the hotel cuck chair with no pants on, and I'm just masturbating. This is a terrible intro to an anime podcast. How are we charting in this many countries? And this is how like we start podcast episodes.
I don't know.
Like, have you ever listened to another anime podcast before and just think to yourself, like, yeah, why we do this in a way that's just not.
Yeah, but the other intros are fucking lame. Like, I wouldn't want to do that shit.
Where it's like, oh, hey, guys. And next up on our segment, we're going to read the news. Then we're going to go through a mailbag. Don't ever send us mail. But thank God we've not been doxxed yet. Do not send us mail.
No.
No.
If wait you want the official Weeb Crew PO box gets opened, then you can send all your bombs
we will
to
get
the
a
bank.
Yeah, we get a bomb immediately. All right. If we opened up a fucking... Because
we're sponsored by the Taliban.
We would get an entire box of cum, all right? You would open it up, and it would just be cum. And that's what would happen.
No. It'd be hot glue, all right?
No. It would just actually be... It would unironically just straight up be... which we could then
remember,
use
send
to,
your pictures the hashtag #WeebCrewHotGlue.
Which we then could use to identify the person who sent it to us, since they... did just provide us with an exorbitant amount of DNA evidence. But
I mean, I'm not going to fucking spend the money to DNA test a fucking box.
I would take that as a credible threat. They sent it's a biohazard, Mumi.
And
we should take biohazard seriously here at the Weeb Crew podcast. Hello, I'm your host Psyotic. And as always, I'm joined by my what are you like a co? Are we partners? I don't. What is our relationship?
I don't know. I don't know how. I've never really understood how you're supposed to, because like we're not really like. It's not like I'm a co-host or you're a co-host.
No,
we are co-hosting.
We are co-host, but it's not like one of us is subordinate to the other.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah, I don't know how else to describe it. Do you know? So we were talking earlier. Do you know how we first met? Like, what was? Do you have any inkling of what our first like interaction would have been?
No.
No. Same. I was thinking about that earlier. It's like, has our relationship, has our friendship just been predicated? Because if it was on Discord and we were like shit posting in like that Anime Snobs Discord server, or
that would have been me. I would have been on that. I mean, I joined there very late to try shit on him, and he just wasn't active.
No, okay. And so then, what was it like?
It'd have been Hellhole
or something. Hellhole,
or postmodern.
Yeah. So we probably just would have started off being mean to one another.
Probably.
Probably, yeah. We probably had a horribly negative interaction the first time that we now can no longer. Well, I mean, our relationship now is still predicated on us like insulting one another. That's like,
yeah, but that was like camaraderie. Fucking... Well, that was always, yeah. It's always been camaraderie. All right, you insult the people that you're in the group with, and the people who get offended are just no longer part of the group anymore. You filter them out.
They get filtered out. See, this is, guys, this is how you actually gatekeep a community. Okay, you have to be like just mean to them, and they don't have anyone else to talk to, and you just like socially ostracize and isolate them, and eventually they're gonna go and sit at another lunch table. Fuck you, Daryl. You were just honestly insufferable. That's why you had to go sit somewhere else. All right,
well, that's
we
why
did
he
not
got
like
shot.
You kept eating with your fucking like mouth open, even though we told you like multiple fucking times to like not do that. You are grossing out literally everyone else at the I really hope that he fucking like learned some goddamn. He may be dead, honestly.
Were you the guy that shot him?
No, what are you talking about? What?
He got shot on stage. Daryl?
Who? Daryl? Who? Wait, what the fuck are you talking about?
He had Dimebag Daryl?
Dimebag Daryl. No, I'm not that old. I did not go to high school with Dimebag Daryl of Pantera fame. Surprisingly. Although in Ohio, I have driven past the bar that he was like shot at.
You've driven past the bar, and I have been driven past the bar where they basically got their start.
I've driven past the bar where Dimebag Daryl was conceived in the bathroom. I was like, oh wow.
See, what they don't
why
tell
do
you is
even
he's actually
know what that bar is. How is
what they don't
so
tell
open?
You? Well, that's how he got his name, right? He was conceived with a dime bag.
His legal name on his birth certificate was Dimebag Daryl.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the progenitor of Weeb Crew Hot Glue, all right? It all comes back to Dimebag Daryl.
Yeah, okay, my internet just cut for like a full second. I did not hear a word you just said.
I said he was the progenitor of Weeb Crew Hot Glue.
It literally just cut out again. I don't know if that's my internet or yours. Hold on. Like
they're trying to silence
they
me.
Don't they I mean this is gonna
they don't want you to
it's
know
it's gonna come through on the audio, but it's not like I'm just not gonna be able to hear it. Let me like turn off my VPN, see if that like fixes it.
I feel like you just have to mute me every time I say that now. So people understand.
So I don't get to hear it and no one else does.
He's gonna say
speaking of things no one else gets to do, what were we supposed to be talking about today? I forget.
Oh yeah, we've been recording for like 40 minutes. We haven't talked about anime.
Yeah,
yet.
No. So we were talking about the Silent Hill F trailer. So if you want to listen to that, go check out Patreon. I guess we
talked about it for like 25 minutes,
30 minutes, something like that. And now we're here talking about Dimebag Daryl for some reason. We have literally not mentioned like any anime or really anything related to anime, and we're how many minutes into this episode now? Like five, hey, maybe?
Pantera's pretty anime, all right. And you know how many AMVs I've seen to like walk?
No. I'm gonna be honest, I don't think I've ever seen, I guess I don't watch like AMVs from like the 2000s that often. And when I do, it's usually Linkin Park.
Okay, I will be fair. I've never actually seen any Pantera AMVs. I've never looked that up.
Send us your favorite Pantera AMVs, everyone, and we can talk about them on the next episode of the podcast as part of our mailbag segment.
There you go. Top result: Berserk AMV Pantera Floods.
All right.
Pantera and Berserk. There you go.
All right.
Welcome to the Weeb Crew, everybody.
Okay. What were we talking? Oh, yeah. We had like an article you wanted to talk about or something where it was like a. Like,
yeah. The Kodokawa anime producer.
Yeah.
Had an article.
Kadokawa. Three. There's only one Kadokawa anime producer, by the way.
Yeah. There's only one of them.
What is it? Yeah.
We're like 3 days late on this, but four days late, I guess, when the episode comes out.
It's the news, all right? Who cares about being late on the news?
I mean, it's the anime news cycle. There's not a whole lot of news.
The anime news cycle mostly consists of someone has said something really stupid on Twitter, and now we get clowning on.
Look, they're gonna make an anime of this manga.
They're gonna make an anime of this. Can you believe what the guys on Trash Taste said? Got Crunchyroll's up to it again. They're doing something else dumb, and it's like, why are we here? What's the point? I don't. Yeah, we have.
Just a summer.
Yeah, we're just seeing it. It's just content. You're just listening to meaningless content right now. Honestly, there's no real point to anything that we're doing now. It's just completely for, like, we just decided to do this like 30 minutes before we even started recording, and here we are. So
you can't pull the curtain. What are you doing?
I hope you appreciate this. I just pulled open like the shower curtain. Mumi's standing there naked. I'm gonna stab him now like it's fucking Psycho. Hello and welcome to the Weeb Crew.
Why do we have so many intros?
Just keep doing intros and never get to the actual topic of the episode.
I am concerned. Says Kadokawa.
Are you concerned? Are you concerned? Is this anime producer concerned?
I'm trying to lead us into the subject of the episode.
You know, I'm actually really concerned about the political landscape of America right now. I really think like that we might be backsliding, but go on. Talk about your fucking cartoons, because that's a
Japan
real first world
problem. Japan needs to protect
problem.
Its unique style and has a sustainable production, okay?
Yeah. Yep.
This is what the Kadokawa anime producer said.
I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, it's so when he says like unique style, it's kind of like there's nothing inherently Japanese about anime when you really get down to it. Like, there's nothing that mandates anime, at least in my opinion. I don't think there's anything that really mandates that anime must be made in like the way that anime is made anyway. Like the visual style of anime, like the animatism or even the character designs, things like that. Nothing about that requires it be made in Japan. You could, in theory, do it literally fucking anywhere, but it's just a matter that, like, due to a variety of culminating socioeconomic factors, you know, going all the way back to the 1960s when anime really started, that's essentially just, Japan just did it first, basically. They did it specific way for very specific reasons, but there's no reason to believe that cannot be done anywhere else. So I don't know what they mean by protecting its unique style, at least in terms of like we need to make sure that we will maintain a monopoly on anime in Japan. It's like, what is that? What are you talking about?
I think it has to do with like lineages, I guess.
I'm really nitpicking what he says, because he's basically just like making the same point that a lot of people have been making for the past decades, that the anime industry is fucking shit. It's getting worse. And now it's almost like in like an existential crisis, and not in like a oh my god, do I even exist kind of way, but more in terms of like, is the anime industry going to feasibly exist in 10 years?
I feel like, didn't Hideaki Anno say something about this?
There was something recently, yeah, where, you know, it's getting a lot more political attention as of late, specifically because, you know, I mean, the Cool Japan Project is kind of basically being rebooted, and anime is like really taking center stage there, where it wasn't really as much of a thing initially back in like 09, early 2010s. And
so back, it was back in 2015.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, like the Hideaki Anno quote? Because he's like, he talked about this recently.
Yeah.
Like, there was a thing recently where
Hideaki. Well, there, I know there was an article that Hideaki Anno predicts the death of anime. This is from 2015.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, that makes, I mean, sure. I mean, that's something that sounds like he would say, I guess.
Of course, it's, so this is actually kind of interesting to look at.
Okay.
In retrospect, because this is 2015. Yeah. It's been almost a decade since this article.
It's, wondering what month did it come out?
May.
It may very well.
May?
Okay, so in close. 2 months, this will be a 10-year-old article.
Japanese animation is in decline. It's already peaked. These are all quotes from Anno. I'm not going to read the full article. I don't think animation will vanish, but perhaps there might not be conditions that have existed up to now that have led to the creation of interesting films. Japan will just no longer be the center of world animation. Maybe in like 5 years, Taiwan will be such a center.
I mean, it's not Taiwan. It is good and proper central mainland China, because Neja 2 is now like, I think it's set to basically pass The Force Awakens as like the fifth highest grossing film of all time. So, I mean, they do have to like compete with the Japan, China now, essentially. And I mean, at least at the box office, yeah, China's just taking everyone to task with this fucking movie.
So that, I mean, and this basically is just highlighting that this is a thing people have been saying for a long time. If you want to go back further, how long ago did Miyazaki say the same shit that like anime is dying?
Like
the 90s.
I mean, so it's not even, I mean, his complaint there is more like a matter of like
creation, like
the content itself. Like what is like the subject matter, where now the concern is like, can we even produce animation itself in like the next like 5 to 10 years? Because I mean, there's a massive we talked about this so much before, there's a massive problem in terms of, one, just not being able to retain talent in the anime industry due to its inhospitable conditions. There are fewer veteran animators now because they either leave the industry or just fucking die. So you have fewer veteran animators that can really properly train these new and upcoming animators, and you're hitting this kind of like stylistic bottleneck almost, where it's like that sort of, you know, mentor-mentee dynamic has, I mean, for most of the history of anime, it's been always this like facet of the way anime is produced that is, I mean, rapidly dying off. So
it's weird because like
that's what I mean when I say it's an existential problem more than like a creative one, because it's always like anime would be good if they just stopped making fucking isekai, and it's like that's not,
well, I think
the fuck up.
Not that specific, but like the sentiment behind it, in the sense of like anime would be good if they were to consolidate it. I think the problem is like the market specifically, because it is just like keeps expanding, where you get more and more people that are like, we need to make money. We need to make money off of anime. And so you get more and more anime. And so the talent has been diluted. Cause like, I don't think that's like, there's no reason that the anime like landscape should be this kind of like problematic.
Oh no, it's incredibly, it's at more than any point in history, it's really just like spread thin now. And it's not just stuff that you can gather just by looking at like My Anime List, for instance. You now have, you know, people working on anime being commissioned for things that are not TV or movies. It's like commercial projects, doing like, you know, all sorts of like advertisement work, music videos, and that does take up time and resources. And as a result of that, you know, you're gonna have, maybe you want to get a talented animator on a project, but like their scheduling, they're going to take like, you know, whatever could pay the most money because they are very talented and in demand. Mm-hmm. So it's either you pull a favor or you're just not going to be able to get them because they know they can make more money doing such and such, like this thing or this other thing, things that are not TV or movies, basically, because why on earth would you work in television animation? Jesus Christ.
Well, so the whole thing going on now is, like, as you kind of said, mm-hmm. it's about like protecting the sort of aesthetic, I guess. Like, is that kind of
I don't even know if that's like a really like meaningful goal. I mean, that's kind of like what this producer guy is getting at, but like,
yeah,
I mean, what does that mean? Because like, nowadays does not look anything like anime in the fucking 1960s.
So when I say aesthetic, really, I don't necessarily mean like exclusively visual, but also like cultural, thematically kind of thing. So like, again, it goes back to like lineages where it's like, yeah, you can make an animation in the West using the same techniques as like anime.
Yeah.
But it would be decidedly not anime in, you know, the themes that it kind of is tackling.
I just don't know if that's a particularly useful definition, in my opinion, because it's I mean, in a lot of ways, it's always been this sort of like, you know, gradient area, essentially, where it's like, yeah, you have stuff that is indisputably anime and stuff that is indisputably not anime, but there's always like shades between those two extremes as well. You look at something like the Rankin Bass, you know, Hobbit and Lord of the Rings movies, and it's like those are both animated at Topcraft, and Topcraft largely did like, you know, commission work for other studios that are like international, you know, outside of Japan.
So
like,
I mean, Bass. I think his kind of concern is basically like a nationalistic thing where it's, you know, bringing production back to Japan and not doing so much outsourcing, and kind of, because like, I think where you're kind of going getting at is the kind of disillusion. Delusion.
I mean, I would say that it is this kind of like fiction of like the inherent historical Japanese-ness of anime. And there, again, there is there to an extent, but it, when we make that claim, it's really got to be clear that we're not doing something that is just orientalist, essentially. Right.
But
like it's a very like nuanced kind of thing. So it's a question of like, what is he specifically like referring to, even?
Obviously he doesn't get into that much detail. I would say it feels like that's where he's coming from, right?
I mean, that is like the, like, I did get that kind of like sort of like nationalistic perspective like when reading it.
Yeah, it's not necessarily you know, Japan's animation is more superior to the world, kind of like nationalistic, but like in the sense
I don't think he's
the industry itself that you have. And kind of acknowledging that, like, at the moment is being very diluted by market forces, where a lot of it is being exported as far as the manufacturing of it. And so
I'm not going to, like, you know, say like, you know, Japan should it protect its anime. No, it absolutely fucking should. Like, what kind of, you know, like, and, you know, we could talk about the importance of the free market and free enterprise. But at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, no, I think Japan, like the Japanese government, should be doing more to preserve its anime industry. Because, I mean, we do have to call a spade and say that they are facing competition from other places now, especially, I mean, the big one now is China. And I mean, to a certain extent, Korea as well, but Korea is a whole other basket of worms when it comes to animation. Like, they have like such a, like, it's almost like a melting pot of animation where they just, you work with so many different countries and so much different work that they kind of have this, they're like a jack of all trades when it comes to animation in a lot of ways, and that's kind of like become like what their like animation, like the pride of their animation industry, is kind of being able to adapt to really any style that they've been assigned to work on. Whereas, yeah, I do think, I mean, Yeah, it is a legitimate concern, you know, to be like, yeah, I mean, animation in Japan, just it very well could just not exist in the way that we understand it to exist and have understood it to exist for the past 60 plus years now. And it may not be the case in the next 10 because of these different market forces.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that, you know, we're seeing so much overproduction and just, I mean, he outright says he's calling for sustainable production. And as it stands, production in the anime industry is very clearly not sustainable. It's just not. Right.
And they're all, because they're kind of all picking at the corpse of what anime is, in a sense.
Yeah.
So you get more and more people coming in to try and, they're not really making it sustainable. They're just trying to get what they can out of it before the bubble pops or whatever.
And it's not just a matter of, like, you know, companies like Netflix, for example, commissioning anime. I mean, that does play a part, but we have to acknowledge the fact that the anime industry has grown significantly, especially since the pandemic internationally. We can look at the charts, and it is just booming right now by all the numbers, essentially.
They have a quote from Tetsumi Nishi where he's talking about how, like, more high quality anime based on Japanese works will be produced in China. And didn't we just get, like, an announcement that Vagabond was going to be animated by a Chinese studio, like, the last, like, month or two?
I have heard literally nothing like that. Vagabond getting an animation? Hold on.
Interested in doing Vagabond
animation. No, that's France. And, yeah, people were just kind of like, that would be interesting, but...
I thought maybe it's because of CGI. Maybe that's what I was thinking.
It's a weird thing when it comes to China, because on one hand, China is rapidly growing its animation industry, and it has showed that it can not only compete with Japan now, but also just America, which is kind of fucking insane. But it's also a matter of, like, increased international financial interests in the anime industry, which is is the reason that we have so much anime now. Like, who talked about that? It was Toshio Okada talked about that, where it was like, you know, these international companies are coming in and they're investing this money, but because of, you know, Japanese collusion, things like that, business relations, that money doesn't necessarily get allocated to one project instead of it's like spread across maybe a dozen, which is why we have so much more anime nowadays.
Right.
And, you know, that and it makes sense to invest in anime because there is a lot of fucking money to be made when it comes to anime. But it's just that the people making that money are not the animators. Studios are seeing more revenue now, but it's not really, they've not really reaped much of the growth, especially in terms of international revenue that the industry as a whole has. You know, a lot of that money is going to the rights holders, other companies on the production committees that, you know, are they're what we call stakeholders.
Yeah. And the problem is, if you are getting a high quality product from a competitor, in this case being China, and they're able to make more money than you are outsourcing and all that, that's kind of where they're getting at, where it's like, this is a problem we should start addressing and making it sustainable as, like, an industry, rather than trying to just, like, basically take all the silverware off the Titanic.
It's a weird thing too, especially when it comes to quote unquote competing with China, because I mean, again, Ninja 2 is like highest grossing animated film of all time by a pretty wide margin now, to say the least. It's over 2 million, and I think Inside Out 2 was like 1.6 sorry 2 billion and one Inside Out was like 1.6 billion. So, but a lot of that revenue is not it's not like it's popular all over the world. Certainly has not been, you know, super banging at the box office here in the United States. But in China, it's like they fucking installed revolving doors on the, in the theater, and people just get confused and just keep going in and seeing and get charged every time. And it's like anime is obviously, you know, Japanese anime is very popular in mainland China itself. And that's been obviously been a very large source of this increase in revenue that in the anime industry has seen over the past many years. So it is also then a question that if China can start just simply producing it domestically and do so to extreme financial success, then that could then potentially cut off the revenue stream for Japanese animation in China, which the industry is... It likes money. It likes that Chinese money, to say the least, which then could, you know, cause further crisis there. There's also been the whole thing going on with, like, obviously the anime industry relies heavily on outsourcing, setting up contracts with companies in other countries, whether they be South Korea or the Philippines, China, I think even parts of like Southeast Asia now as well. And with the yen being so weak now, those contracts, which were set up prior to the yen, you know, going into the tank, are now much more expensive as a result. And, you know, consequently, it's putting even further financial strain on the industry in a way that I have not really seen a lot of people talk about.
Yeah. It is kind of concerning, I guess, because like it kind of goes back to what we're talking about as far as like how it defines, how does one define anime, right? Mm-hmm. Because your average consumer who's just kind of like out isn't quote unquote in the know.
Yeah.
You know, they don't
know what Fooly Cooly is.
They might not know what Fooly Cooly is.
they might be on a Jubilee average video. Person,
they're not going to know the country of origin. They're just going to see like the aesthetic of it.
Yeah.
And then you start seeing more like Chinese animation.
I mean, no, it's not even just Chinese. It's also like, that's why people call Castlevania anime. That's what people are calling Devil May Cry.
Well, that's the stuff that exists.
Yeah.
I just mean like if someone were to come in, like if China were to like start pumping out more like animation, get more budget behind marketing, stuff like that, you start seeing, they can kind of almost capitalize on the success of the anime industry.
Because it's
already kind of built up this brand of a sorts, but it's just like an aesthetic brand, basically. Because
the brand recognition of the word anime. That's why Meat Canyon fucking called this thing like a manga. You know, there is just like, you just use the specific keywords, and you know that will draw a specific audience, an audience that, you know, fucking manga is blowing the comic industry out of the fucking water right now in the U.S. It's not even close.
Yeah, so like you get someone that comes in, has that, and you know, a lot of these studios are already kind of working on anime anyway.
Where they're just like, oh, if we call it an anime, we'll make more money. If we call it a manga, we'll make more money. You know, you always have stuff like that as well.
You don't even have to call it an anime. Like if it's like a movie,
yeah,
you put it out and just has that anime aesthetic, people are like, oh, this is that anime stuff people are talking about.
Yep.
And I don't mean, when I say the average person, right? The average person's not listening to this podcast. The average person is probably not even in anime spaces. I'm talking about the average person who might just know what Dragon Ball Z is
or Pokemon before.
Yeah.
I've talked about this before. It's like I was at like an anime store in Chicago with a coworker. Motherfucker did not know like what a Charizard was. He was like, he was asking what our favorite Pokemon were. And he was like, yeah, I like the big orange dragon. And another coworker and I, we just kind of looked at each other and were like, I mean, Charizard? And he's like, is that what it's called? It's like, why do you even have a favorite Pokemon, man?
You know, I used to have a giant Charizard plush.
Did you? What happened to it?
I have no idea. It probably got like thrown away.
Oh.
I was like, I don't remember.
Too stained with cum. Got all crusty.
I was like 7 years old.
Yeah.
You know, got a little too excited.
Yeah, 7 years old, just full of cum at that age.
I don't even remember how I was
like a fire hydrant.
Like I don't even know why I had it. I don't even know where it came from. I don't remember buying it.
It just appeared one day and now it's gone.
It was probably like 2 foot.
Sucks. Like, I have all foot. Like my stuffed animals from when I was a kid. I got sentimental value attached to that stuff. You don't really, as we've established when we talked with Roger about this, you don't do sentimental value that much, seemingly.
Try not to. It's like a hoarder mentality.
Yeah.
How you get like a fucking back room stacked with newspapers.
Yeah, dude. It's all, I'm gonna read those newspapers one day, okay? Trust me.
All right. There's sentimental value, all right?
No, you understand. This newspaper came out. That's not sentimental value. Listen, all right, if I ever need to read something.
This is pragmatism.
Yeah. Because, you know, hey, now I got a backlog of newspapers, all right? You know? Okay, no, you cannot make this complaint. I've seen what your fucking browser windows look like. You never close any fucking tabs. You're like a digital hoarder, if anything.
Listen, when these videos get done, the tabs will close. Morale will improve.
But yeah, it is a matter of like, yeah, the average person is just, the average person just does not perceive. This is what we call a problem of capitalism, guys. Oh, we're becoming a left-wing podcast. Fuck.
Oh no.
Here we should recite the 14 words so we can just like, you know, keep it nice and balanced here. But it is like 14, a matter
I don't know what the 14 words
you
are.
Know you go to the McDonald's, you order your McDonald's, you go sit down at the table or in your car or wherever the hell you eat your McDonald's, and okay, that's pretty good, but you're
McDouble?
Not you're not like
McGangbang.
You're not seeing how the McDonald's was made, and maybe, you know, someone was bleeding out behind the counter. You just have no idea because it's like you just like watching an anime. You're not unless the it looks like absolute dog shit. You're not going to suspect any problems, you know. This is why I've said that, like, I feel like people, and this is a very, very cynical perspective of mine. I feel like people only started giving a shit about the working conditions at MAPPA because they did not like how Attack on Titan season 4 looked. They saw the CG.
That is about the same time.
Yeah, they saw the CG and they were like, what the fuck? Even though fucking Attack on Titan has always used CG, but they saw the way it looked and were like, nope, yep. And then it just became this whole thing about MAPPA abusing its workers, even though, let's be real, MAPPA is not particularly unique or even the worst example in the anime industry nowadays. And it's like, you know, the same shit can be happening at Toei, for example. I'm not saying it is. I think Toei is actually pretty on board when it comes to a lot of stuff, but it can. And people aren't going to fucking bat an eye because One Piece looks fucking awesome. So as long as the end product is good, sure, but it's like, yeah, as long as the end product is, my point is, as long as it looks good, no one's going to suspect a thing or even really care, honestly. You know, it's that's why people, you know, again, people, when they complain about working conditions in the anime industry being exacerbated by the fact that there's too much anime, they then invariably then always are like, yep, we need to stop making this kind of anime or this kind of anime, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, the content does not fucking matter when it comes to this kind of thing. I don't really care what the anime is at the end of the day. One, because I'm just going to check it out and watch it anyway, but also, that's, you know, the more important thing is, are people being paid well and treated fairly? And it's like, I want fewer anime that look worse made by people who are paid more to work less time.
That is the kind of shitty, like, because that's really boiling down what they're saying when they say there need to be less isekai or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What they're essentially saying is there needs to be less anime. There needs to be more of a concentration of people working on less titles
They need to be working on adapting every Shonen Jump title, Mumi.
They need to be working on the things I want to see rather than the things other people want to see.
And the things other people want to see are things people are interested in, like, actually making.
I don't like isekai, so they should stop making.
Yeah, and again, if they were getting what they wanted, if the anime industry, if the only anime that were ever coming out were weekly Shonen Jump adaptations, those people would just shut the fuck up and they wouldn't really, they wouldn't bat an eye at fucking people being like, you could literally be whipping people, the animators making the anime, like they're like slaves on a southern plantation. And they'd be like,
that's fine. They're making Peak. Arya's got hype moments in Aura.
Hype moments in Aura.
And it's like, what?
And then we're stuck sitting there watching fucking season 8 of Demon Slayer. No one wants to fucking. No,
it's like, you know, you got your cool new Jordans. Sure, maybe a Chinese child lost their left hand putting it, like, trying to unclog the machine that was making those Jordans. But hey, new Jordans are cool.
It doesn't matter.
There's literally like a what's the fucking, like, SpongeBob quote? It's like, no one cares about the, like, quality of labor as long as they, like, get their instant, like, gratification or whatever. Yeah.
Well, that's you're eating the bugs.
Hello and welcome to the Weeb Crew, the only Marxist anime podcast.
Now, this is like, I do have to be clear. This is me being exceptionally cynical when it comes to how people engage with anime.
You're 100% not wrong in the case of people that will unironically say stupid shit like they less isekai. Exist.
It's just, but it's also like, that's not everyone. Let's be real.
It's not everyone, but with the way you're describing, like, the cynically, that is 100% those people.
These people do exist, and they are fucking annoying and honestly part of the problem, but it's not like they're the only ones who exist. And I don't know, people do clown on them too. If they, like, I've seen, like, viral tweets take off, someone saying something to that effect, and it's the quote retweets are just fucking dragging them, you know, across the street.
As they should.
As they damn well should.
You need to bring back tar and feathering for people that advocate for the death of isekai and more Shonen Jump
people
adaptation.
People say we don't have a shame society anymore. No, we have a digital shame society.
Isn't that what cancel culture is? Is a shame society?
Yeah, well, you know, cancel culture is like people who have no integrity complaining about consequences for what they believe.
Are you okay? I was talking about the concept of like, because they say, oh, cancel culture. Isn't that what that is? Isn't that like shaming people publicly for doing something that they didn't like, but it's just not aligned with their values? So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're getting, you're not actually getting canceled. You're not losing anything really by like, I don't know, with the look at the political thing, like the political meme that we posted on Twitter and everyone got mad at us. And it's like, imagine if we then we really should have just turned around and be like, guy, I guess we're getting canceled on Twitter because we decided to politicize anime and weebs just don't like it when you think about anime. That would actually have been genius in terms of continuing to stoke the flames. But it's like,
we could have made two tweets where it's like, we make one for the right wing and one for the left wing.
Mm-hmm.
We make one where it's like, they're trying to cancel us, they're coming after our families, and the left is trying to cancel us.
Guys, they sent us an entire box of cum.
Did you want for the right way? It's like, they're trying to cancel us. They're calling us racist slurs.
They're trying to cancel us for the fact that we both voted Republican or something. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it's like, they'd be like, oh, they're trying to cancel us because we both voted Democrat or whatever. Just like, get two separate tweets again.
No, we could lean into the fact that there's two of us.
Okay. Oh.
One of us voted Republican, one of us voted Democrat.
And now we're both
and
getting
so
crucified.
We just play both fields at the same time.
Eventually, I'll put this tweet out at some point in the near future, probably, where I had like an idea for a similar bait post where it's like, all right, guys, let's settle this debate once and for all. Deku from My Hero Academia, would he support Israel or Palestine? If you would see people fucking like tear each other apart, the reply
Israel.
Yes. This is yes. Deku would 100% support Israel.
Damn, I can't believe I got that from like one season of the anime.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I've talked about this before, where it's like My Hero Academia. Like, wait, did I put My Hero Academia on the left or right initially? I think I put it on the left, but it is I would say a pretty right-wing anime when you get down to it, because it's just like, oh yeah, criminals are just evil, guys. They're just, people just do crime, not for any like deeper socioeconomic factors that should be addressed. No, we just need to beat the shit out of them, all right?
And it's a classic problem.
Like, I want how does Superman prevent me from committing the greatest crime of all, evading my taxes? What are you going to do, punch me, Superman, for
for not paying my taxes.
Listen, like, the Joker never fucked with the IRS.
It's true. That's how they got Al Capone.
Yeah, that's how they got Al Capone.
He knew.
He said that himself.
Yeah, he knows what he can get away with and what he can't. All right. Yeah. You know.
That is a legitimate quote from Batman the Animated Series.
If in the Joker's evil lair, below it they discovered a large oil deposit, he would move out immediately. Just, I'm not even dealing with that. No. I already see the Apache helicopters coming.
I will fight with Batman. I won't fuck with the U.S.
I will not fuck with the U.S. military, Batman. They will. Have you seen the conditions in the prisons they had in Iraq?
Do you even know about the military industrial complex?
I guess Joker wouldn't know that Bruce Wayne is part of the military industrial complex.
Batman would just sit there and smirk.
that's what you do for Joker 3, all right, where Joker is now part of Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And he's fighting pro cop Batman.
I've never seen Joker, so.
Oh well, Joaquin Phoenix. I know the first one
was like right wing, second one's like left wing.
I think it's like something like that. He gets like raped in the second one, I think, but like the first one, it's like he doesn't really believe in anything, but people just assign this value, like belief, to him that he like hates rich people or something like that, and he becomes like this.
Listen,
like,
they should make 4 Joker movies.
Okay.
What would the first one, right, upper right quadrant?
Oh, okay.
Second one's like upper left. They just need to do all 4 of the political quadrants.
So in the first movies. One, Joker kills the Jews. Second one, Joker kills like billionaires. Then Joker kills Kulaks. And for the bottom right one, it's Joker just has sex with the child. He just makes child porn.
Asian child.
The Joker must have made child porn before, right? He's like committed like every evil. He's like done anything that's evil, right?
Listen, all right. This is like the Minions thing. The Minions were just in Antarctica on vacation for
listen. The Minions were just years. Yeah, they were just on vacation in Thailand. All right. They just got caught up and it was like a Hangover 2 situation. Okay, you can't hold them accountable for basically recreating a Serbian film.
That's the actual explanation, because like you've seen that, right?
What, a Serbian film?
No. So wait. Someone said something about like, because I guess they established in the Minions lore that they go to the most evil person in the world.
Oh, yeah. That's like established in the Minions movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, like people were like, okay, so where were the Minions when Adolf Hitler was like, does that mean they orchestrated the Holocaust?
Because, Mumi, Hitler wasn't that bad of a guy. They were actually serving Mao Zedong in China.
Oh.
The Minions saw that Hitler didn't need any. The Minions actually are deeply anti-Semitic and saw Hitler didn't need any help killing the Jews, so they knew their talents were needed elsewhere. They needed
this. I mean, I think the explanation that came out was just like, oh, they were on vacation in Antarctica or something for 20 years.
You know the Nazis were in Antarctica, right?
Like they were helping them.
they were helping them awaken the old gods in Antarctica. Yeah, it's a thing that exists. Look it up.
You mean the hallways and shit?
You know the book Mountains of Madness, right, by Lovecraft? That's like a work of nonfiction. Right.
So wait, are we going with there's like a civilization underneath the ice of Antarctica, or the Antarctica?
It's not even underneath the ice. It's just past the mountain. It's like down the street. You just go a little bit further, and it's there.
So okay, was that before or after the ice wall?
Before. So it's coast of Antarctica. Mountains, ancient alien civilization, and then the ice wall.
Listen, all right, if they didn't want you to know the ice wall existed, you couldn't sail around it and never end, right? The ice never ends. It's always there.
That is like one of the more interesting flat earth models, that it's like, we live in like a Minecraft world and the ice just kind of extends on forever. I don't know how that works with global warming, though. Like, could you imagine being a flat earther and believing global warming and you're going to be like, guys, we need to stop this. If Antarctica melts, we're all really fucked, guys.
I don't think that.
I mean, it might be a sliver of a Venn diagram, but I think that like Venn diagram exists. There is like some overlap.
Have you seen the models? It's like Earth is flat, but is in like a giant ice thing, and then other worlds are in also in a giant ice thing.
Oh, and it's like segmented and separated.
Yeah. So if we like could climb the giant ice wall and run for billions of miles to the next ice wall, there would be another thing, I guess.
Oh, it's kind of like how like the alternate universe is. Like, have you seen that like Mario 64 speedrunning video where it's like
the one?
You know, it's like an explanation of like the Mario, like the one Mario 64 like tool assisted speedrun where it's like beaten like a minute and 20 seconds. And the explanation for like how it's done has to invoke the fact that like the way Mario 64 was programmed is like there's a duplicate like a parallel universe, like however like 16 million like pixels in every direction, also up and down, and in doing that you are able to manipulate your position without manipulating your position in a way that lets you maintain enough momentum to break through a door so you can beat the game with no stars.
No.
I'll show you that video later. It's really interesting. I don't fully understand it, but it's really cool. Have you not even seen that speedrun before?
No.
Oh, it's one of the funniest speedruns of all time, honestly. Oh, this is a hot take.
While we're on the subject.
Oh, sorry, go.
I was like, while we're on the subject of the ice wall,
yeah.
Can we talk about how the simulation theory is the dumbest sack of shit?
Yeah.
I don't care.
You can just say whatever the fuck you want.
Basically,
it's like, oh, sure.
You just say whatever.
It's unfalsifiable. Okay, well, I mean, I guess it doesn't. Sure, I mean, if you want to believe that, go ahead. But like, does it matter?
I mean, there for a while, people were like, oh, it's like almost impossible that it's not a simulation or something. It's like, I guess like they started like walking back on it now. I think Neil deGrasse Tyson was one that said this stupid shit.
Elon Musk is like a big one as well.
He's also a big one.
I think Elon Musk now just thinks the world is run by like a Jewish cabal, but that's neither here nor there.
I don't like the simulation theory. It's like we've just reinvented religion with extra steps. Like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah, because it's just like, okay, well, get back to me when we like we can. Like, if there's like a like, if it, does that impact my life at all? Is there a way for me to break out of the simulation? That's like relatively easy. Let me know if you come up with something like Matrix. That. I'm not going to kill myself, though. We're not doing a Heaven's Gate thing. No, come back to me where it's like I can do something reliable and maybe even come back into it. And then we'll talk.
Yeah, you take some Molly. That's how you break out of the Matrix. Yeah.
Oh, you take DMT and you convert. Convene with the machine elves. Yeah, this is a hot take I have where I think speedruns are more interesting on old buggy games that can just be really fucking broken, and you can do things like arbitrary code execution, ACE, more so than like newer games, which are more put together, and you can't really do stuff like that because it's not simultaneously storing like the values for your position on screen in like a similar like the same place that
wait,
it's
so
determining like
our
what
games
items
less
get
broken or more broken now. I thought games were being released unfinished.
Less broken in that regard. True, but the way they're unfinished does not allow you to in theory create another game inside that game. Which is what arbitrary code execution allows you to do. Like so stuff like that there's like a really good speedrun of Super Mario World, and like I guess for me, it really mostly matters for tool assisted speedruns. I'll show you another one. Maybe I've already shown you the one for Pokemon Yellow, where it just flies off the goddamn rails. I don't know. To me, that stuff's like more interesting. Whereas, like, you've seen like summoning salt videos before, haven't you? Oh, well, it was like the summoning salt videos for like the newer newer games, like even like Lego Star Wars, for example. It's like the speed run is like 8 hours long or so. It's really fucking long. And then all these time saves just shave off like 30 seconds to maybe a minute. And it's like, okay, but what if there was a way to just completely circumvent that? And we have like a glitch. We need to have like a glitchless category now, almost like with a, it's like that with the Super Mario Brothers, you know. You know, they were the original Mario Bros, where you have like the any percent category where you're allowed to like jump through walls and break the game in all sorts of ways. And you have like the just play it normally category, stuff like that. And maybe this is just for me having a weird outside perspective, and I don't really know that much about speedrunning. And maybe these games still do exist, but those kinds of games where they're just really, they just have, not that they are broken, but have the potential to be broken just through intentional action and fucking with the game, are more interesting to me. I don't know. I just think they're more fun to like see a speedrun or have a speedrun explained to
me. Yeah, I don't have that kind of autism. Mine.
right. You have I have the game autism.
That like I see like a Twilight Princess speedrun where they like shave off time by staying in wolf form, and then there's like a glitch with like them riding Epona as a wolf, and I'm like, this is an affront to God. And I don't mean that isn't like I'm disturbed.
No, there there is like, oh, there's definitely like fetish porn.
And I don't mean that as like this is like based a, like, on that offends me. 100%. Like this is like some kind of like gore fetish porn or something. I mean that is just like, why does this exist? I don't.
Yeah,
I really don't like
it. Should be illegal
because I remember honestly, like seeing
it. You know what movie? If you see a clip like that posted on Twitter, and
what do you mean,
shame society.
I'm literally describing like what happens every time someone does a fucking Twilight Princess speedrun.
You okay? Then we need to make a Weeb Crew video where we're talking about the problem with speedrunning Twilight Princess, and it's an hour long video of just bitching and complaining about that. From everything from, oh, it's bestial fetishism interspecies stuff to being like, I don't know, I just don't like how it looks, honestly. I think it looks bad.
I will describe this autism once the dogs shut up. Give a second. Okay, they're done. No, that like I get into games, I guess, in a way where it's like, how to describe it. I just the way I engage with games, I guess, is the same way as I engage with like anime, where I'm just adding like the gameplay layer as a storytelling element.
Mm-hmm.
So games are unique in the sense that they can break and you can see stupid shit like that, where anime doesn't really, I guess there's like YouTube poop or something, which I also, I mean, if I'm watching it in like a comedic context, it's kind of like whatever, but yeah. But like if I'm
anime hell type speed of
speedrunning is not that.
But that's all. Right. That's also I really different.
Never
as
cared
well
for speedrunning. even when I've played games, like I'm thinking like Sonic Adventure, not Sonic Adventure, Sonic the Hedgehog 1 and 2 or whatever in the Genesis. I never really gave a shit about going fast.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't like to speedrun games, but I like to hear about how speedruns are done, especially if it's like when I usually watch Summoning Salt videos, it's because I've come down with like the flu or something and I can't get out of bed. So I'm like, I need long form content.
There's something to be said again, I guess, for like
Summoning Salt videos.
Appreciating like the architecture and development of a video game where you kind of are examining. I think of like Beyond the Boundary or whatever. Not Beyond. Boundary Break. You know, Kyoani's classic anime from 2014, yeah. Boundary Break.
Oh, that's exactly what I thought you were talking about.
No, I think of like, I guess, Boundary Break, where they kind of go outside the map and kind of show you like how they're doing that kind of thing. Yeah. I guess there's something to be said for that
like,
kind of thing.
For like Dark Souls and stuff, yeah.
I'm not as focused on that. I don't think I get into hyper focused detail on programming and stuff like that. I'm more about what it's trying to say, I guess. So that's where my autism lies.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joe offers like something like, do you know this book called The Grasshopper? The Grasshopper is like a Socratic dialogue book about how games are an integral part of like a utopia, essentially. And one of the things brought up in the book is like four types of players where you have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think we talked about this.
Like, you know, regular players, people playing the game, triflers who are playing the game in the way it's intended, but with a different goal in mind. Cheaters who are playing, basically breaking the rules of the game, but have the same goal in mind. And then spoil sports who do not give a fuck about the rules or the goal. It's like, you know, you have Mario Kart. And the regular player Mario Kart just goes around the track. The trifler does the track backwards. The cheater is just cheating and going extra fast. And then the spoil sport is both going extra fast and the wrong direction. And you seem to mostly like just like align, because like speedrunners are like triflers, you know, because they're not really playing the game with the same kind of goal in mind, but they're also not really cheating either, and they're not introducing any sorts of external elements. They are still basically operating within the quote-unquote rules of the game, essentially. They're not introducing any sort of like external stuff. They're not holding cards in their hand or whatever up their sleeve, but you're much more just interested in playing the game by the rules with the intended goal in mind.
Yeah. I like dissecting like the gameplay and like that thing in that sense. Like, how does this play into the themes or the story? Something like that.
Yeah, whereas I'm more interested in like spiffing, well, to a certain extent, you know, like spiffing Brit style, like how can I break this? But then also like the kinds of games that I'm interested in, I'm almost more interested in them as like storytelling machines, almost closer like, but board like board games don't have stories to them in the same way as like the last
a story unfolding still yeah. like
a narrative to yeah yeah that, the emergent narrative.
It's very funny. I'm not proper term one of the people that like breaking games, because I feel like that just always happens to me because of how I play games. I feel like if I were ever to stream games, I would just like piss so many people off. Because, like, I'm the type of person that, like, plays Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Fallout 3 or Fallout New Vegas or something. And, like, it's like, oh, I need to get to this point. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you'll come across, like, a trash wall or something. And I just start trying to jump over it. And I'll just sit there just trying to go in a straight line, jumping over this trash wall. And then, like, I'll fall through a boundary and fall out of the bounds or some shit. I'm like, fuck. Damn it.
But to go back to what we're talking
about. Womp, womp. There you go. I put the time for you. You're listening on Patreon. Hello. Why are you still listening? We fucking suck. I haven't talked about anime in 30 minutes. So I don't have an interesting anecdote to share.
All right. It's recording again. Was it? Oh, yeah. Silent Hill is like a puzzle game. It has puzzles in it.
Honestly enough, you call it a puzzle game.
I was like, do you do that with puzzles in games where you're just solving it in the most obtuse, like, that's not how you were meant to do that. Got a way possible.
I get very impatient. I think it's what I get very impatient while playing games, where I was like, I just want to get to the next thing. And I see that with like Elden Ring, where like I just start running past things. I'm like, I just need to get to the next boss fight. I don't give a shit about this stuff. I just keep running. I feel like a Silent Hill. I'm like, oh, the fuck, a puzzle? Oh, what the fuck is it? Blood on a piano? I don't know. Just start doing different permutations of the solution. It's like,
for me, it was like a moment when I was playing like Breath of the Wild and I was doing like one of the shrine puzzles, and it was like you needed to do it had like a ball that you needed to like navigate through this maze and not have it fall into like any pits, and in order to get it to the goal. And after getting frustrated with that for like 5 minutes, I just realized I could flip the board upside down and just completely circumvent the entire puzzle and just bring it over to the end and go. Yeah. I was like, that was funny.
Faster for me to just do it the right way.